Have y'all heard about this thing with the Cowboys? The communication guys, like Dalrymple, I think is his name.
No.
I just heard about it this morning listening to Bomani Jones' podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might be worth talking about, or maybe next time. Because the short version is, dude, I think he's like the communications guy. He's something. I don't know what he is, but he's been working there for a long time. It came out, he retired, but then it came out that he, at least two instances, one with Dallas cheerleaders, he took a picture under a cheerleader's skirt or some shit like that in the bathroom or something like that, right? But the second thing that's the craziest is, 1 year during, I think, the draft or something, he took a picture, a fan caught it. He took a picture under Jerry Jones' daughter's dress or skirt, but a fan caught it, and he still kept his job. So maybe it's something we should talk about when everybody read up on it or hear about it, but I didn't even know about that.
I'm going to save that probably for the next time, but definitely bookmark that, because that is a wild time.
He's a wild boy for even, you know, that nigga don't give a fuck about women. If he find out dude did it to his daughter and he still didn't fire his ass, fuck firing them. It's Texas, man. Shoot his ass.
Oh, yeah, he would have been dead. I'm going to be honest with you.
It says the Cowboys paid, this article right here says, paid $2.4 million and old boy denied both of them. Both allegations. And this isn't even very far away. This is 2015, 2016. That is wild. Wild, 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 wild. Obviously, just retired earlier this month.
Yeah. You know you got forced to retire, probably.
Yeah. Welcome to episode 91 of the Pickup Podcast, the Dennis Rodman edition, turning shit up. Here with your boy Marcus, co-host Ant. Got guests back on, Keyshawn, Bam, you know what we're doing. And we're going to get into a little bit of that Brian Flores lawsuit against the NFL, Super Bowl 56 results with the Bengals, Rams taking home the chip, and top five quarterbacks now after the season. So stick with us, we'll be right back.
Cue.
All right. So we touched on this last week for a little bit, but I'm not going to go as deep into it because whatever. But Brian Flores got a lawsuit against the NFL suing for racial practices, racial discrimination in hiring practices. Keyshawn, Bam, I know that y'all follow NFL pretty close, and we've talked about some of this. What do you guys think about the lawsuit, and you guys think he has any chance of winning it?
I mean, personally, I think he has a really good chance of winning it. I mean, there's a lot of evidence, you know, to back up some of his claims. I don't know about the whole paying to lose or whatever. Like, I mean, if he got text messages of like that or like some kind of, you know, that'll help his case out. But I think everything else that he has evidence of, like the supposed, you know, the secret meeting with the quarterback that would have like caused some problems, the whole little Bill Belichick text message, you know, that's crazy. Things like that. I mean, and it's just a bad look. The NFL doesn't want to be like, they don't want to, they already have a bad stigma. And they don't want to make it worse, you know, going into court.
Well, I don't know if y'all saw, they hired a black, it was like the first black woman AG or whatever. And she's defending the NFL in this case now. Going forward, so they're definitely pulling the optics look.
Yeah,
it's so nasty. When it's blatant like that, it's so nasty. Like,
and I don't even know how you could accept that job, to be honest. Keeping it a whole buck, you kind of see what's going on.
Shocking job.
Yeah, because if you're getting hired by the NFL, I'm going to think that you have a lot of really good job offers out there, so you don't need that job.
I mean, he was an attorney general. That's like, I mean, it ain't like they hired Joe Schmo off the street.
Yeah.
Or Josina Schmo, a woman. It's just like, you have all the opportunity in the world. I feel like, but I ain't going to judge too hard because, I mean, whatever. She's doing the job. So maybe it's not personal. Maybe it's just the job is the job. But still, it's just, you kind of know it's optics. Look, even if he does, even if they do win this case, it was purely for the optics, and I don't like that. Obviously, I think that there's obviously racial discrimination at some degree, given the representation of people that play, that get the opportunity to coach, that don't get the opportunity to ascend past position coach, maybe coordinator level. Head coaching is such a serious title that I guess they deem that only a certain type of person is fit to do it. To that same extent, I don't know if you guys have heard, but the stuff with Eric Bieniemy has been coming out of Kansas City. I know that he's kind of been one of the poster boys for this topic of black, you know, coordinators and whatnot not getting coaching opportunities. And apparently it's a little deeper. They might have to pull his name back, because from some of the stuff that we've been hearing out of Kansas City, like the arguments with Mahomes, talking about one of those plays, I think it was a play before halftime, that Kansas City got stopped by Eli Apple. Sad times. apparently Patrick Mahomes was getting like four or five different, you know, things over the radio headset, which I've never heard of happening. I've only heard of one person having headset access, and that's the play caller. But apparently Eric Bieniemy called a play, and Andy Reid's like, no, don't run that. And then someone else was like, yo, pick a play. And Mahomes is like, yo, what the fuck, you know? So sitting on the field, you know, he was covering his helmet, you know, and a lot of people wonder, like, why is he covering his helmet when he's at home? But, you know, like, it's not that loud. But apparently he was hearing three, four voices at the same time. There was a whole lot of discord, you know, going on with those names. And apparently Eric Bieniemy doesn't take any criticism. He does. Apparently that's what the thing with, they said he doesn't interview well. You know, say he's not willing to take criticism from players, from coaches below him. He has a very kind of like a superiority complex when it comes to his position, his way or the highway type shit. Because it is odd, 15 or so interviews that he's done over the last, you know, several years, and he not a single job offer. So we might have to kind of pump the brakes on that, even though, because like I said, he is one of the main people highlighted. He's got a whole subsection highlighted for him in Brian Flores' lawsuit. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have heard anything about those reports coming out of Kansas City.
I hadn't, but the first thing I thought when you said that was, he sounds like a coach, right? And then secondly, I do think people need to be careful about who should be a head coach, because we don't know if they're good coaches. If we've been real, we don't know. And then also something I kind of been on is like, just because you're a good coordinator does not mean you'll be a good coach. And maybe some of these guys should just stick to being coordinators. And the last point is, if that happened the way it happened to me, that's Andy Reid's fault. Mm-hmm. If that's going on in the helmet, if there's multiple voices and all that, that's Andy Reid's fault.
Andy Reid was the first one to challenge, because Andy Reid has final say so over play calls and stuff, so he is listening on play calls and whatnot. This whole last season, from what he said, is Bieniemy's been calling the plays. He has full authority over the offense, but obviously Andy has say so to say, no, don't run this, run that. If he sees something, because obviously he has several years of play calling experience, and this is ultimately his offense. But yeah, it was just weird for me to read that, because as much as I want to read that and say, damn, maybe they were right, what I say to counter that is, how many white coaches have we seen with almost no experience get the same nod of, well, let's just see what he can do, rather than trying to find reasons against him becoming a coach? I've never seen that much of concerted effort. Nah, he shouldn't be a coach. Nah, he shouldn't be a coach. Like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, bro, that goes back to, like, that just really goes back to them expecting, like, you know, black head coaches, black coaches, just to be so much better, to get, like, to be, at, you know, compared to their average counterpart. I mean, their white counterparts. Like, I'm pretty sure there's been plenty of coaches. They didn't take advice from other people. They were mean. They didn't interview well. But but they're like, you know what? This guy got it.
But you know what?
Nigga could be super mediocre. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like Ant was saying, that he just sounds like a coach. Like, That's how a lot of coaches are, like, from high school, college level. Fucking, you got dudes that, like, Bill Parcells that are fucking known for that. That was his whole fucking shtick, was being a hard ass about shit like that. But obviously, he won championships like that. So it got over, right? So that's what I'm saying. Shit like that, you're like, I don't think that's enough of a reason. I mean, you could say, hey, look, the players don't like him. That's enough of a reason to me to say he should be a coach in Kansas City.
Yeah.
If we're talking about the players in Kansas City don't take to him well, you don't know if he can take that somewhere else, and they might eat that shit up.
Yeah, or he might have just been there too long, you know? Just like a head coach could just be somewhere too long to where the voice is just like, ah, shut the fuck up, and you got to get somebody new in.
Yeah.
Could very well be that.
Only thing I really would agree from out of there is that there was apparently tension between Mahomes and Bieniemy. And the thought is that Bieniemy kind of resents Mahomes because Mahomes is so good. It's kind of keeping Bieniemy from getting looked at for the job. Like, for other jobs, you know, like, well, of course he's good. He's got fucking Mahomes. Instead of saying, wow, he's calling, like, good plays or whatever shit like that. Which I would kind of understand where that resentment comes from, but I feel like, you know, as a grown-ass man, it's like, dog, you got to, like, suck that shit up. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't get anywhere.
You want him to be worse?
And yeah, that's what I was saying.
You look worse, and I mean, I don't.
I mean, because think about it this way. Like, we just saw Mike McDaniel, right, from the 49ers, play caller there, just got a head coaching job out in Miami. And why? Like, oh, look what the offense he did with Jimmy Garoppolo, right? You got shit like that. He was like, well, maybe if he could have got some similar success with a worse quarterback, he'd get more of the praise, thus more of the credit, and a better opportunity to get a job, rather than saying, well, he just won because he had Mahomes.
Yeah,
and I kind of understand where that frustration would come from, but I don't think you literally take it out on your $500 million quarterback.
Yeah, I'm curious about the interview stuff. Like, I've always been kind of curious about what the interview process is like for a head coach or whatever. But also, has he not interviewing well? Because these just say that shit. Oh, he don't interview well. You know, it's like the cop coming up to you and be like, oh, I smell weed. Now, you know what I'm saying? Like it's just the go-to thing. It's just, oh, you don't interview well, you know? So I'm curious about the details in that.
One of the things I was reading was that basically there were some of these interactions that had happened at practice or on the sideline. Like, apparently Andy Reid had got to the point where he told the production crew, he was like, yeah, just don't, you know, try not to focus too much on Bieniemy. I guess something, they won't say what, but something had happened at practice that week. Leading up to the game. And basically, Mahomes and Bieniemy were basically beefing. They were on the sidelines, the opposite side of the sidelines. They weren't talking to each other in between series and stuff like that. And it was just like he was going back to his quarterback coach or whatever. And it was like people in the stands, because I do remember seeing people tweet about it, I follow a decent amount of like Kansas City fans for whatever reason. And they were like, yeah, it was like Bieniemy and Mahomes are not talking like at all. So I guess something happened that got a little personal. So, like I said, I think back to what Ant said originally, I do blame Andy Reid for kind of letting all this fester the way that it has. Like, if you are the head coach, you just got to lay down the law and say, look, y'all niggas got to get over it.
We got
a championship to win. Y'all niggas got to get over it.
Yeah. Do any of y'all find it funny that, like, that shit is leaking when it's, like, a black coach or a black head coach, but we don't really be hearing all this shit? It's usually like after the fact, maybe with other coaches, if at all. But like, he's still there, right? He's still at Kent.
I don't think he's under contract. That's what I think.
Oh,
okay. So last season, his contract ran out.
Ah, I got you.
They signed him kind of on the low. I didn't even really hear about this happening until way later. They mentioned it during the season. But his contract ran out. And after not getting a head coach offer that he thought he was going to get, I think he was just pissy about that whole situation, which I would be too, but I don't think you bring it back to your team like that.
No, that's unprofessional, dog.
Exactly. And they were like, he brought it back to the team. They signed him for like a 1-year deal as a coordinator. Mm-hmm. And then after the season, because I remember they were talking about Andy Reid was meeting with him like after the season ended for them. And I never heard like, well, we coming to, they said, quote, to discuss his future. That's what it said.
Wow.
So he might get re-signed back there. He might not. But I think they put this report out ahead of the fact that it might not shock people he doesn't return. So that's what I think. And I think with in relation to the Flores lawsuit, Obviously, like I said, he was named as a pretty big factor in an example. I think that this might hurt his cases. You know, there's always that one, the one that you kind of are hoping for to, like, carry your case, and it don't work. Like, I hate to say it, but, like, this shit could set black coaches back, like, years. Like, this could have, like, Jamarcus Russell effect. Bro, because, like, think, like, Jamarcus Russell set black quarterbacks back, like, 5 years.
Nigga drinking lean in the NFL, nigga.
Like, dog, like,
wrong with this nigga?
We dead ass almost draft Blaine Gabbert over Cam Newton strictly because of Jamarcus Russell. Like, you gotta let that shit sink in. And at no point during the college, which I like Blaine Gabbert in college, but at no point did I say, yeah, I want him over Cam Newton. But the fact that that was even a topic of discussion.
Them niggas was on SI together.
Like, come on now. Like, we talking about, that's how bad Jamarcus
that
Russell
shit, that
this
cover's
back,
funny,
man.
Bro.
Nasty.
But now we should be talking about it, and it is Black History Month. Let me shout out to the one black coach to beat all the charges, the one black coach to hold it down, to do it with all whiteness as possible, and that's my dog, Marvin Lewis. My boy did it. All them years, didn't win a playoff. 20 years, no playoff wins. Come on, dog. Never that see that again. He did it. He did it the way it was supposed to be done.
Like a white man.
And then
all the chances in the world.
Man, I was hoping, so I'm going to say with this real quick. I was hoping that the Bengals are going to go to the Super Bowl, do it for Marvin Lewis. But yeah, they couldn't get it
that's
done.
That's just funny.
They couldn't get it done. I know Bam and I were talking about this before the Super Bowl, but I was saying with a Super Bowl win, it would put Aaron Donald in the conversation of greatest defensive player ever, that Lawrence Taylor – you know, bracket up there, the Reggie White type shit, Deion Sanders type shit, you know, those guys that you put when you very short list of who's the best player, period, regardless of position. I think Aaron Donald's up there with the championship for validation. I know Bam has a little more, like, insight onto why he thinks Aaron Donald's so great.
Yeah, so specifically against the Lawrence Taylor thing, one – Lawrence Taylor wasn't great against the run, partially because, you know, he's a linebacker, not an actual D lineman. And Aaron Donald just dominates in every facet of the game, whether it's run game. Like, he's got every pass rush move there is. He invented, like, the, what's it called? The chop club, I think, that he does all the time. Like, people weren't really doing that until Aaron. They weren't doing that much anymore until Aaron Donald brought it back. So, and just looking at him, just dominates so much more than I've seen anybody else ever do. From a D-line
to that point, what you were just saying, obviously the end of the Super Bowl, Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp got a lot of the praise for the last drive, but I think the last drive was set up. Look, man, the last drive was the last drive, right? They had about four other drives before that to take the lead. Because the Bengals didn't score again after they got that field goal after interception. That was early third quarter. There were several drives that they were given, like, ample opportunity. And they gave the Bengals opportunity. You know, they threw another pick, obviously, and they held them to a field goal. They were given short fields. They had that one punt return that they kind of gave up. And they still didn't get anything. It was just looking really, you know, like the Bengals at any given point could put them away. You know, with a single drive, I think, would have put them away. They were up 16-20. So all they needed was one more touchdown and really, you know, it's a two-score game, put the game away. And they never got it. And why? Because of Aaron Donald in the second half, you know, they kind of – because Von Miller – in the first half was starting to basically fuck him up so bad because they were leaving him single coverage. And they're like, damn, that's a Super Bowl MVP too. Can't leave someone like that single coverage because you're triple teaming Aaron Donald. You're sending the center to his side every single play, pulling the whole offensive line towards wherever Aaron Donald's at. You're running away from Aaron Donald, running at Ashawn Robinson. And Ashawn Robinson was fucking beasting it up in the run game too. And you come down to the last two plays of the game, you know, for all the chips. Finally took the lead. It's third and one. You got Aaron Donald single-handedly pulling back a 240-pound running back from gaining a single yard. And then on the last play of the game, he gets to Joe Burrow in like 1.8 seconds or whatever the fuck it was and keeps him from launching a game-winning bomb to Ja'Marr Chase because Ramsey fell down. Like, that's some sick shit, man. You don't see that shit from a defensive tackle, but an undersized defensive tackle.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Dude is like 280 at defensive tackle.
He's like 6'1", 280 at a position where you would like a Sean Robinson is more what you would like if you would think of like dominant defense tackle, you know.
And Sean Robinson is like 350, 360, something like that. Like, it don't make no sense.
But I know, so Ant's older. Ant saw Deion. And Ant, were you old enough to see Lawrence Taylor?
Not really.
Yeah, because I figured you'd have been like young.
Yeah. I don't really remember. I remember what they say about him, you know, because it was very recent, but I didn't actually see it.
You remember Reggie White?
I do remember Reggie White, yeah. He was nice. But I don't know, maybe some recency bias. If I'm picking between Reggie White and Aaron Donald, it's definitely Aaron Donald. And
yes, sir.
If it's like Deion, I love
Turn it up.
Love Deion. Had the game and everything growing up that he had. And yeah, he took away like a part of the field and stuff like that. I don't know if that is enough to affect the game the way Aaron Donald does on a consistent basis. So
consistency is what's crazy because we're talking about 8 years in the league, 8 Pro Bowls, 7 All Pros, Rookie of the Year, 3-time Defensive Player of the Year. Like, this shit's insane for such a short career. He could literally hang it up right now, and I think he's which he was talking about considering, but I don't think he will. I mean, unless he really does feel like he accomplished everything, then I would understand that.
Nah, I think he will, man.
You think he's done?
Yeah.
When's the last time you heard of somebody in year 8 talking about they're getting ready to retire? Like, that's not really – what's he, like, 29?
Yeah, he's like 29 or 28 or something like
that. I mean, Patrick Willis did it in year 8. Luke Kuechly did it in year 8.
That's what I'm saying. People that are that young talking about retiring, like, normally do it. Especially after, like, he's won a Super Bowl now. I mean, Cup got the MVP, but everybody knows it's his MVP. So,
I just didn't like the narrative. Retire.
Yeah, I thought it should have been a co-MVP between them two. Didn't necessarily expect it to be that because, you know, if you got a chance to make a white man a hero, you're going to make the Pilgrim a hero, so...
Like, I'm not gonna cap to you, man. Like,
but he's dope.
Honestly,
I
gave it if it wasn't for two picks, I'd give it this. I give that last drive more credit to Stafford than Cup. Mm. Not that, because I mean, I'm not saying that Cup didn't obviously make the catch. Cup took that hard ass hit, which was fucking crazy, and still made that last, you know, the last play after that. He stayed in the game. That boy definitely got CTE juice knocked out of him.
Yeah, I just started thinking about Wes Welker.
So, but yo, Stafford on that last drive going down the field, like, he was making throws. Like, I mean, you talk to me about MVP, like, I need, as a receiver, like, you have to be making some, like, catches, like, some real catches.
I mean, I think he made all the catches they had on that last drive.
He had, like, 4, I think it was 7. But still, yeah, he had all the main ones, all the third down conversions. He had the fourth down reverse. Like, but I don't think one drive, and I know he had that earlier touchdown, but I mean, before that drive, he had like 4 catches for like 50 something yards and a touchdown. Like,
yeah.
I get the last drive was important, but like, I feel like Stafford was doing more work. Like, Stafford was locked in. He was throwing, you know, Cooper Kupp, they knew he was getting the ball. Those are tight window throws.
Yo,
he fucking did the no look pass on Von Bell where he looked down at the tight end, pulled him 3 steps, a full 3 steps down to throw a no look literally right behind him, like cut and fill.
Yeah.
And Cooper Kupp, like, that's a throw that, like, and obviously that was, like, I think the biggest throw yardage wise of that drive. And obviously, you know, Cooper Kupp's getting the credit for that, but I think that was a Matt Stafford play. And even the last couple touchdowns, you know, or the last. But, you know, the 2 throws to the end zone, one got called back and the other one obviously was the game winner. Like, I think those are on, you know, Stafford.
Before that before that drive, what did you think of Matt Stafford in the Super Bowl? Did you think he was good, okay, or really great?
Oh, I had that pack ready, boy.
Because I thought he was just okay up until that drive. I thought he was just okay. I don't know. I don't know if I have, like, this thing with him. Because I don't think I don't like him. But it's, anytime I speak on kind of quarterbacks like him, it probably sounds like I'm hating. But I look at him as, like, he's good. I don't think he deserves as much praise as a totality of his career as he's been getting. And I think he had a great drive. I won't take that away from him. I think he was just okay the rest of the game. Like, there was times where I was like, damn, man, this dude's acting like Matt Stafford. He's playing kind of like he should be playing better. You know what I'm saying? And then that drive was crazy. But I definitely didn't think about him being on MVP.
Nah, that's what I was saying. If it that like that one pick that he threw before halftime.
One wasn't his fault, I think.
If the one that before second halftime, one wasn't his fault.
You think or, it wasn't?
I think it was both his fault.
No, no, you
I
know
think
what?
He, I think he led like the receiver wasn't. A little much.
It looked like it wasn't, but I think he threw it like behind. Yeah.
Like I mean, obviously, we're talking about hands. Like, everyone say it hits the hands, that, you know, it should be caught, which it is. But it was a sudden throw right off the break, and it was a little in front, you know. So it was kind of one of those – as someone who's been, like, on the receiving end of a throw like that, it's so bang-bang. But fuck it, it's a Super Bowl. You know, NFL and the Super Bowl, you got to catch those. I take that back. Let me take that back.
No, I'm not. Fuck Stafford.
You get a hand on it, man. It's a Super Bowl, man.
Yeah, but
standards are different. I
facts.
Shift goals.
Facts.
The standards. The standards are that, different.
But I don't know, man. Because I don't know.
But that you one pick that he threw that in the end zone, like, shouldn't have threw that shit. That was a prayer. And I know it was before halftime, but, you know, that's an opportunity that they could have given up a lot more. You know what I'm saying? Like, or...
How do y'all feel about Odell tearing his ACL? He's a free agent now. After he just proved that, you know, he's still that nigga, but he just tore his ACL again.
Nah, that was a repeat performance.
Was it the same knee?
This was the same knee that was injured 2020. Yeah.
It was the same one.
Yeah.
Damn, so son.
So,
I feel bad too, but at least
is he gonna get fucked on his contract, or is it just gonna be a little step down on what he could have got?
He's absolutely gonna get fucked on his contract. Yeah. He's
probably
them boys
in what he's in year what six or seven? I think seven.
Seven with two tears and Robert Woods come back. Come on, man.
Okay. I don't think he's gonna play week one if he tore it in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. No, he's definitely missing majority of the season. I could see maybe a late season return, which is crazy. ACL surgeries have come a long way now. So from what I was talking with some other people about, basically what they're doing now is instead of reconstructing part of your like patella and reconstruct your ACL from out of that. So you basically have two invasive procedures on your knee at the same time that have to heal, which is what was taking so long. Now they're taking fibers from your hamstring and reconstructing your ACL with that. And your hamstring, obviously, it healed a lot faster than your knee. So it's really just the ACL construction part that has to heal. And that's why people are coming back a lot faster than previously on ACL surgeries, from my understanding.
I mean, we saw Cam Akers.
Yeah, that was Achilles, but yeah. Like, dudes are coming back, you know, like 5, 6, 7 months as opposed to the, you know, 8, 10, 12+ months, right? You know, like we had Derrick Rose miss, 14 or 15 months after his ACL surgery. It's getting to a point where it's not as, like, career threatening and serious anymore. And they said because it's the fibers from your hamstring, they actually should be stronger and less prone to re-tears. Mm-hmm. From non-contact.
What'd y'all think about Sean McVay's play calling? Because I was listening to someone talk about that and how he was dedicated to the run. And obviously it wasn't working. But you could look at that like, you know, two different ways. Did y'all think he was just being a little too stubborn with the run, or you think you just kind of got to keep going for it just to keep, you know, the defense at least kind of guessing?
That first touchdown that Cooper Kupp caught was off the play action. Yeah. That Eli Apple, 5 yards deep in the backfield when Cooper Kupp was 5 yards deep in end zone. So, yes.
Oh, man, making a wrong mistake at the wrong time.
So, yes, you got, I believe, keeping them honest. Now, I mean, obviously, there's – you could – like, we're talking a different story if they lose, right?
Yeah, he's getting criticized for that. Like, yo, why do you keep running the ball? You got Matthew Stafford, not Jared Goff. You should let him throw. You know what I'm saying?
On the flip side, we've seen what – sorry, Bam. Falcons Super Bowl. I know they were up, but still refused to run the ball at the end of the game. And started, you know, the pass game is only as good as it's going to be when you have an element of surprise to it. If you can eliminate a whole, like, half of the playbook, you're that much easier to defend. You can only run so many routes, you know.
You
so
know
that
Shanahan offenses do.
What, Shanahan?
Yeah, because he's from Shanahan's tree.
Yeah, that's right. They both were, him and Taylor, because they were both in Washington.
Yeah, and they were both doing that stupid, like, they're all three of them are awful clock managers. All of them stick to the run game way too much. I think, like, I didn't have that much of a problem with McVay's play calling, except for when he tried to run Philly. I thought that was fucking stupid for when you're trying to get 5 yards. That's not a 5 yard play call. And also, if you trust Stafford so much that you got rid of Goff to get him, let him throw the ball on third down. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
I mean, but here we are on the flip side, right? Like you said, coming from the same tree, we got Zach Taylor, third and one, fourth and one, third and one. You got Joe Mixon out of the game, right? And Joe Mixon was on the low, kind of eating. He was having a decent game on few touches. I didn't think he got enough touches, but I understand also, like, one of those drives that they had was short field. Well, one was a one play drive, so you can't really get touches on that. Another one was, you know, quick change interceptions, short field position, and it just went, you know, for a field goal. But throughout the rest of the game, I feel like Joe Mixon's touches were mixed in pretty well. But I feel like, especially like later in the game when they had the lead and they were basically trying to play keep away with the ball, which is what they looked like they were trying to do, I feel like it got to a point where they were not looking very sure with their offense. They looked like they were just calling plays, trying to just hold on to win. It wasn't trying to go win a Super Bowl. It was like, all right, we got the lead. Let's just like try not to whatever. And when you, like I said, you become that much more predictable. And then you got guys like Aaron Donald on the other side, who you're trying to account for. I think they lost faith in the pass game. You know what I'm saying? Like, because they gave up 7 sacks. What, it was like 12 quarterback hits or some shit like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the Titans game. They just lost like they were supposed to this time.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, that's, again, why I go back to Aaron Donald, why I think he's MVP. Like, he had that offense so shook that I think he threw off their entire game plan. I say him, but obviously, like, him getting triple team, let other people come fucking free to the quarterback, right?
But he was still getting free. Like, some of those – Sean Robinson's sack, that was a cleanup sack from Aaron Donald beating a triple team.
Yeah.
Floyd's sack, that was a cleanup sack from Donald beating another double team. So that's 4 right there. And he still didn't get MVP? Like, that's disrespectful, man.
Well, it's because he didn't get the direct – stats. So, because when they were making that comment during the first half, they, like, I know it's fucking Chris Collinsworth, but still, and he runs PFF, so fuck him. But still, they're looking at Aaron Donald, and they're looking at Aaron Donald like they're showing the highlight clips. They're like, and we haven't called Aaron Donald's name much, and look at all these double and triple teams. Like, yeah, dipshit. Do you not see all the other people getting free to the quarterback? Like, that's impact. Like, like, what more do you want from the dude? That's literally all, like, what you want him to do.
Team on 64% of he played in this past season.
He what?
Like, come on, bro.
He was double teamed on 64% of all.
That's insane.
Like, then, you know, and then people don't think about how much that wears you down too. So he got crazy endurance.
Paul. Bro, not only that, but like you're making that decision. Like I said, you're making that decision with the stacked DL. Like, he's that good. He's standing out of a group of standouts.
Aaron Donald's so good, you decided to give a Super Bowl MVP one-on-ones for the entire first half.
I mean, like, talk to this man. Like, let's talk about it, man, because we talk about Aaron Donald, man. That's like the like back when they used to have Barry Bonds come up bases loaded and walk them. Like, come on now. That's the kind of impact we're talking about.
Like, man, we ain't even
rather give up the one than the four. Like, come on now. That's impact. That's what we're talking about, man. Like, yeah. How can we not sit here and talk about him as the greatest? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Could you see me? I haven't seen the other guys live in person, but just from what I've seen, impact is crazy.
On the nigga note, did y'all see a picture of his wife? Nigga.
Hey, he's got a beautiful ass family.
Nigga, queen. That's all I'm gonna say. I'm gonna be respectful. Queen.
Shout out to his family.
And that nigga beat the shit out of me with his fucking pinky finger. Nigga. Nigga's huge. Pause again. But yeah, hey, you know what? Purpose, Cincinnati's coach, I was very shocked. He's probably been the least talked about coach that was in the Super Bowl. Like, no one tried to make it about him. And I'm not saying it was, because I didn't watch enough of Cincinnati anyway, and I don't think it was from what I did see. But it was just interesting to see that they didn't try to, like, in the media give him, like, any of the, I guess, the share of, you know, the success or whatever. It was mainly about Burrow and the receivers and shit like that. Did y'all notice that?
Well, yeah, because you know Taylor was on the hot seat coming into the season. It's kind of hard giving that much credit. That boy, his job was done.
Who was that?
I'm just saying, it's kind of hard to sit there and talk him up when we're talking about even like the beginning of this year. He was on the hot seat. Because I think they started out decent, but then once they got that closer to 500, they were still talking about, all right, he might not be the guy. He gets to the Super Bowl. And I know that the tune usually changes, but when you got someone like Joe Burrow, you know, the charisma that he has, and, you know, he's dressing, you know, like Cam Newton now, and he's got...
Yo, I hated that.
He's cool. He's cool with the culture and shit or whatnot.
Yeah.
So he just seems to be an overall well-rounded, cool guy. And, yeah, he's going to be the story, especially coming off of the ACL and all the other shit in his knee and winning a championship in college. Like, media loves linear ascension, right? Like, okay, he did this, and then he was great. Now he did this, and he's great. And he came here, and he came back, and he's going up to here. Like, they love that linear ascension. And anything that can propel that, they will boost the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
Like, even like when it was Cam Newton in the Super Bowl. What's up?
I got a quick question. And this goes back to, like, you know, Joe and shit. Do y'all think the Bengals are ever getting back to the Super Bowl in the next 10 years?
No. No. I was about to bring that up.
When I said that, niggas thought I was tweaking. I said this is the only time Joe Burrow has a chance to win a Super Bowl. He's not going back.
Yo, Sean, I swear I was about to say, yo, people need to relax on it. Oh, they'll be back. Because first of all, we said that about greater teams than this, for sure. And greater
way players. Better teams.
And they haven't been back. And, like, it's not easy. I think because we've seen, like, in basketball, people do, like, back-to-backs, and you see the Patriots. But people forget, most of the time, that shit don't happen again. Like, sometimes you just get one shot to win it. And after that, that's it.
I want to say –
they got lucky. They got lucky, too.
It might have been Keyshawn that shared this stat with me, but – in the group that shared to me, it said, not me, but the status said, the last 16 quarterbacks to lose their first Super Bowl have not made it back.
Nope. Yo, and then you got to think, aside from that, he's going to have to be either Mahomes or both, Josh Allen, and whoever else ends up good.
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson. They're not going to be injured every year.
Like, come on, man.
Justin Herbert. They got lucky. Coming.
Let's pivot this real quick. Top five quarterbacks going into the season, because now we got, obviously, your Breeze is gone. Brady's gone. You got some other people. That Ben is gone. He shouldn't have been in your top five, but he is gone now. So who we got top five going into next year? Quarterbacks. I'll go ahead and say mine real quick. So for me, it's Mahomes number one. I still think he's top dog until he's literally dethroned, which he hasn't been. Number two, I still got Aaron Rodgers. He had the worst playoff experience that I think I've seen from him personally. But I still think he's still him. Obviously, just won MVP. Hard to deny that. Mm. Number three, I give a ton of credit here to Josh Allen because I did not think he was that good. I thought he was mid as fuck. And he's one of the guys that's literally grown into his position and into what he does well. Four, I'm going to say Lamar Jackson because he still is an MVP. And y'all are playing with his fucking name. Did y'all not remember how many season-ending injuries they had, like, in training camp? And then more as the season went on. Like, they had, like, double-digit injuries. And he still almost got that, you know, that team to the playoffs essentially by himself. And they already didn't have a stellar receiving core to begin with.
And a Harbaugh coach.
And a Harbaugh coach. Greg Roman offense.
You know, both of them are idiots.
Yo. And then
Antonio and Savage. Idiots.
Yo, because I had the same list up into that, and I'm like, it's either between what, like Dak and Justin Herbert.
See, I had Herbert at five, but
I haven't seen him play enough to I don't know.
Yeah, so I had Herbert at five. That's what I had. I had Herbert at five, Russell Wilson at six, but that's kind of Russell Wilson's got to prove that he can finish the season to me. And I know it's crazy because he won a Super Bowl, but I don't feel like, you know, at this era of his career, he shouldn't be September MVP anymore. Like, he needs to start putting it together, like, beginning to end.
So, can I got a little hot take. I think Russell Wilson's done.
I won't be surprised. Honestly,
I think he's done.
He might have peaked.
Not too happy.
Yeah. And I'm
happy with his kids.
So, I hope I'm wrong, but I think he's done.
Granted, I don't think Seattle's been doing him as, you know, doing right by him, but
no.
At the same time, because, like, he does have to, like, make magic, and at the same time, when you watch him, there are plays that he makes that I still think, wow, only maybe two quarterbacks in the league could make this play, and he's one of them. He still has, I think, like I said, that top five ability, but I think there's a group of guys that are coming up that are ready to pass him up. He's kind of stagnated, and like I said, he's not really putting full seasons together. He's hitting, as a fantasy owner of his, he hits low points, very large portions of the season, pops off kind of a few times when you think when he thinks he needs to, or when he plays weaker opponents. But I don't know, like, until they fix that offensive line, and he's 30 something now, he's not going to run around forever. But yeah, that's what I got. But I will say a little caveat to that. The horny quarterback would slide it at number four if he was still in consideration, but since he is not on the field right now, we're not counting him. But I would put Deshaun Watson at four if he was, and then slide everyone else down.
Yeah, they're saying he might go where? I just read some shit about where they're saying he might go.
That shit, him to Tampa or Minnesota?
Yeah, that's what it was.
That boy go to Minnesota, that'd be some sick ass shit, boy.
Yeah, put him up there with
Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen, man.
It will not be fair.
It will be fair. He have to sit up there in the fucking cold. That's what the fuck that nigga gets. He don't get them house calls for the
most. Y'all think that nigga playing next year?
I think he touches
the field ever again.
His deposition is coming up soon, this month, allegedly. So whenever that gets settled, I truly think it's going to matter only about whether they deem him guilty or not. Because if he's deemed guilty, he's not playing this year. Maybe next year.
Does he have criminal shit, or is it just like civil
shit? He has two. From last time I heard, he has two of those cases that are being pursued criminally. But.
So you just mean a criminal shit?
Yeah.
Like, if
the lawsuit, I think, is going to be just public perception shit. Like, if he's guilty, they'll be like, oh, no, you can't do that. And then they'll be like, well, we need a quarterback. But if he's like.
That's fucked up, but.
That's literally what they're doing.
But it's true. Yeah.
That's literally what they're doing. But obviously, they play by a different set of rules than we do. So whatever.
Yeah.
And then we got the criminal case. I think if he actually gets convicted of that, I don't think he'll do actual jail time. He's got enough money to where I think he can get away with, and being a first-time offender, I think he can plead it down to probably probation and hella fines.
Yeah, it depends on what community service for those two things. It depends on what the charges are, because if it's rape as opposed to like sexual misconduct, because that's very like ambiguous and shit. Right. Like, that could be a lot of shit. You know, that could just be grabbing somebody's ass or whipping me dick out.
From what I heard, you know, we talked about this several times, obviously, but I don't think I remember hearing anything like he, like, violated someone's person.
I think he put, like, his dick in someone's mouth, didn't he? I don't know. I got to look at that shit.
I thought they said he made gestures. I don't know if he actually – I thought they said he made a gesture to it, and then I don't know if he actually did it or not. I'm not here to defend the nigga, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm just going off what I – and I'm not even really looking at the – I'm just going off remember what we talked about. But, yeah. If all things held aside and we were talking strictly right arm throwing football, I would put him at number 4. But since he's a horny fucker, he's off the list.
I just put sexual accusations in, and just reading the description, I'm just like, you sicko! Like, what are you doing, dog? Because you just read this one little paragraph, you be like, yo, no, come on, man.
I think boy's an addict. Not trying to be funny. I think he's like legitimately an addict. He's got issues, like a problem. That's addict behavior. No one gets 20 masseuses in a 6-month span. Nobody.
Man, you might not
does
get that,
that
your whole life, dog.
The team has masseuses.
Bro, when O.J. Simpson came out and said, when I played, getting a massage is a part of therapy, but I only saw one or two people. I was like, yo, come on, man. Like, it does not take that many people to rub your body down and loosen your muscles and tendons. Like, it does not, it's not that serious. I mean, to where you got 20 different people, and that's like, come on now.
Then you going on Instagram to get them. Like, dog, I just started getting, like, professional massages, and I stick with the same chick who I started with just because
She knows your body.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? It's like a barber or something, dog. You ain't even taking that chance, dog. Really. If you don't got to, you know what I'm saying?
You know what? I honestly feel like the backlash might be might be harder if he said he saw 20 different barbers with that hairline.
That is.
That nigga got my joints.
Man.
This nigga is a sicko.
Anybody else got top 5 quarterbacks? I know Keyshawn had to bounce.
Nah, man, I agree with yours, to be honest, man. We could debate on the number 5, but like I said, I haven't really seen Justin Herbert play, so I'm going off of really other people's perception of him. So it could go either way.
My list was pretty much the same. I dropped Aaron Rodgers because I think he's going to retire. So he's
really
not on there yet. But 1 and 2 is actually really close to me is Mahomes Allen. I think one day we're going to have to sit down and have a conversation about how Mahomes said he can't read coverages, or he didn't know how to read coverages until like 2 years ago. Because it's kind of looking like it's showing its head whenever teams decide to stop going too high and show him different looks. He start doing that. What did me and Sean call it? He starts Garoppolo-ing. There it is. So I'd have to like go back and watch more tape to see what the defense was doing or whatever. But it's kind of looking like he's struggling to read coverages now that I'm thinking about it. Because every time teams decide to stop going too high, or if he's just frustrated with the way the offense is going, he does not look like even a top 10 quarterback, let alone the best.
He starts looking like that Texas Tech a little bit. That's something else that I saw with the Eric Bieniemy thing, was the frustration was, you know, with trying to simplify, quote, the offense from Mahomes, and Mahomes being like, nah, I want to do this, I want to do that. You know, because you remember earlier in the year, he was having all those issues throwing those risky-ass interceptions, and then the offense toned down. Part of, and that's why I was saying some of the enemy backlash, I think part of you got to, like, look, it's a two-way argument, you know? Like, Mahomes is kind of guilty of that, too. Like, he wants the offense to be a certain way, and when he's not playing well, he's not taking the, you know, tone this shit down criticism as well. That's why I don't like the angle paying that. But anyway, keep going.
Yeah, so that's one and two. Three is obviously Lamar. And then I dropped Brady, too, obviously, because he just retired. So four for me, like four through the rest, like four through probably like seven, eight for me is all really close. Mm-hmm. I got Dak at four, Burrow at five, six is Herbert, seven is Kyler.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all like there's a much bigger gap between three and four than like four and seven.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, different tiers, basically.
Yeah.
I guess I would say like all those quarterbacks are close enough to be considered the same tier. If I had to go off, you know, similar kind of like thing, the last tier quarterbacks that I have in that top 10, you know, I have Wilson, Burrow, Dak, Murray, and then I threw Stafford in there because, I mean, there's so many quarterbacks that
no respect for Stafford for me.
I mean, he's like I said, like I give him the credit of being a top 10 quarterback, but he's like literally 10. Literally, yo, number 10.
Everything Richard Sherman said about him, I agree with. He just basically made my take on him, basically.
About not being a Hall of Famer?
Yes. Yeah.
What did Richard Sherman say?
He basically listed that he had only been to one Pro Bowl, didn't have anything else, and I mean, he probably went in better detail. He definitely said it better, but that basically sums it up. Like, he hasn't done anything. Like,
one Pro Bowl, no All Pros,
no Super Bowl MVP,
just you know, no type of MVP whatsoever. He just had a Super Bowl, and didn't he like come back player of the year that one year?
And the motherfucker ain't even been in a Pro Bowl like that, like, which is easy, like, because it don't even mean shit. Like, Tyrod Taylor been in the Pro Bowl, shit.
Matt no Jones been the Pro Bowl this year.
No disrespect, but shit. But, yeah, I just think he's just a little overhyped. Like, he's talented. He has the talent. It just doesn't necessarily always get executed. Like, that last drive, that's like – I'm not saying he should be like that all the time because that would be ridiculous. But, like, being that caliber of play on basis.
It's not talked about because he was in Detroit, but I want to say Matt Stafford was either leads the league or is, like, top two in game-winning drives.
Yeah,
come on, man. But the reason they went on behind in a lot of those games
because of him.
Yeah,
see, this is kind of my point with the last drive. Is like you don't even need to, that last drive wouldn't even matter if you was playing just good, better the whole game.
You know what
I'm saying? And that's the thing in Detroit that I heard because ain't nobody watching a lot of Detroit games unless you're from there. Like I heard that's what a lot of it was like, yeah, he had all his comebacks, but you know. It wasn't like that nigga was playing like that to begin with, you know. So,
but I'm not saying this Super Bowl is basically. I think that was kind of the quintessential Matt Stafford game. You know, he played good, but then
good
he
enough.
Was mid, and then he's kind of got it all together for one last drive and won the game. That's literally been like his whole career, and I don't think that's Hall of Fame worthy with what we've seen.
More than likely, if he has. Just above average guy on the defense, and not Aaron Donald, that nigga's not winning the Super Bowl.
Correct.
So, you know, he had it set up perfect for him. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to like shit on him because he played good, not great. You know, that drive really saved him to me, like, because otherwise, nigga, he's about to get that shit finally. He's going to get a lot of the blame, you know?
That drive saved a lot of legacies, man.
Yeah, even the boy McVay too, you know. So
the engine, where Reggie at?
Yeah, the engine. This nigga.
Nah, but you know, I will say, you know, shout out to Matt Stafford because, like I said, when the moment came, he did that shit. So I'm not here to take that away from him because that's some shit that I wish a lot of quarterbacks could do, and they can't.
Yeah, but and if they had Matt Stafford instead of Jared Goff. They won that Super Bowl too.
Well, in 2018, absolutely.
Yeah.
I believe that wholeheartedly. And I think if they really just had a fully healthy Todd Gurley, they win that Super Bowl. But that
easily.
Jared Goff really ruined Todd Gurley's career. Shit is sick.
Yeah. That's when his knee cartilage started grinding to dust. So
I think he had already had, what, like two surgeries before he even got in the NFL. So I'm not even – I shouldn't
surgery
be
surgery before NFL and then after rookie year.
He's out the NFL now, right?
Yeah, Todd Gurley. He's not on a team. I think he might.
That's so fast, dude.
Might be one of those late signees, like the way like Devontae Freeman got signed after like six running backs went down for the Ravens. Shit, I'm surprised he didn't get signed during that little time period.
His knee might just be fucked.
I hate to say that, though.
Yeah, because he was so good, man. At Georgia, it was like him and it was somebody else. Chubb, right? Chubb. Yeah. I was like, yo, I love Chubb, that team.
They had Sony Michel there at the same time, too.
Bruh.
But their backfield was ridiculous. It's crazy they didn't win the championship.
Well, yeah. The year that Michel was there, I mean, he was there, but he didn't really get burned until Gurley got hurt.
That's why I thought he was going to be nice, but he's not really that good.
But shout out Sony Michel, two-time Super Bowl champ now. Won one. Mm-hmm. Against the Rams, and 1-1 on the Rams.
Yo, that nigga Todd Gurley got me mad as fuck at that nigga.
Huh?
That nigga Todd Gurley, because he like, nigga, you won the one. If I wasn't fucked up, I would have won that one. And then you
nigga, that's my ring.
Nigga. That's facts, man. I told him to give him one of them rings, man.
You know what I'm saying?
But shit. Cool. But this is a good discussion, fellas. I gotta bounce. I got any more final words?
Oh, yeah. You got to work tonight. That's
yeah. No, no final words. All right, everybody. Exercise, drink water. And...